This is Greg Smith with the National Education Policy Center's Education Interview of the Month. Today I'll be speaking with Christopher Saldana, a doctoral student researcher at the University of Colorado Boulder. He, Kevin Wallner, Susan Malcolm, and Eleanor Tisch have recently published a policy brief about the hiring of teachers as brand ambassadors, a new corporate marketing trend aimed at influencing their students' consumer choices and their colleagues' use of educational technologies. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
So how does this marketing strategy work, and what are teachers expected to do, and what do the companies offer in return?
So it helps to go over what a brand ambassador is. I don't think a lot of people are familiar with the term or with the term micro-influencer. And so when we started to think about what this means for teachers, we looked back at what a brand ambassador is. And broadly, a brand ambassador is someone who endorses a product in exchange for compensation. And traditionally, the way that you'd think about a brand ambassador would be a celebrity brand ambassador. So, for example, Michael Jordan, who had a campaign with Nike, or Bo Jackson. And what campaigns tried to do with celebrity brand ambassadors was to maximize the advertising outlets that were available. So you would see ambassadors on billboards or television ads, radio ads. But as technology has changed and social media has become more prevalent, how individuals communicate with one another has changed, and that's influenced the kinds of advertising strategies that marketers use. Social media presents a relatively inexpensive way for individuals to communicate, and a relatively instantaneous way for them to communicate with their social circle. And so what it's done for the brand ambassador strategy is make it so that individuals who don't necessarily have that following that a celebrity would have, like Michael Jordan or like Bo Jackson, it's allowed them to communicate with their social circle instantaneously, and it's allowed marketers to bring together all of those individuals and their social networks and advertise to them directly. And so what a micro-influencer is, taking that from brand ambassador, is that a micro-influencer is an individual who has their own social following, but who has a special position within their social circle where they could carry influence, like a family member or a friend, or in this case, a teacher. And what teachers are expected to do in teacher brand ambassador programs is to do just that of a brand ambassador, to take a product and endorse it in exchange for some compensation. And this could range from a number of different things. But they're expected to be an influencer within their social network. So that's among other teachers, administrators, parents, and students.
So what motivated your exploration of this topic?
So initially, this topic arose as part of a seminar. And so along with my co-authors, Kevin Wallner and Susan Malcolm and Eleanor Tisch, we brought together a number of different perspectives. So my background is actually in economics. Susan's is in law, and Kevin's is in law and education, and Eleanor's is in education. And so when we had read an article in the New York Times by Natasha Singer, and it brought to light this issue of brand ambassadors, and we were aware of the effects of commercialism in schools and the history of marketing to schools and trying to get products used in schools. And so we started to think about the roles that teachers are expected to play and the complications that this could have in terms of ethical implications, how it could divert their attention away from their priorities as teachers, and what this could mean for school districts.
You mentioned that this kind of marketing is not a new phenomenon. Can you describe how corporations have attempted to basically share information and sell their products in schools before this particular time?
Prior to brand ambassadors, and I should take a step back, that the brand ambassador phenomenon is sort of coupled with the emergence of education technology in schools. And so where we would traditionally think of school curriculums as maybe a textbook or educational resources, like maybe a pencil or something like that, what's different about education technology is that firms are essentially trying to position themselves as to acquire some sort of market share. And so whereas traditional forms of marketing of educational products may have been directly to a district, where they may have sent a textbook and asked the district to evaluate the textbook, education technology now, they're trying to have teachers use the products within their classrooms and then also influence not only past the use and evaluation of these products, but to go beyond that and to tell colleagues that this product is amazing. And so a brand influencer, instead of being someone who is evaluating, they are essentially saying and assuming that this is the best product out there. And this is a responsibility that brand ambassador programs impose on teachers. They ask them to be spokespeople for their product. They require them to say positive things and go to conferences and share this with teachers and administrators and parents.
So you mentioned the possibility that when teachers basically assume the role of brand ambassadors, it could be ethically and possibly legally problematic. Why is that the case?
So ethically, we think it's problematic because one of the core responsibilities of a teacher is to prioritize their students. And so in protecting that relationship, conflict of interest policies and ethical policies have sought to position teachers so that there are no blurred lines, so that teachers can be safe from any sort of bias or influence in the pedagogical or curriculum decisions that they make in their classroom. What a teacher brand ambassador program does is that it asks the teacher it doesn't explicitly ask a teacher to divert attention away from their students. It does ask them to prioritize the advertising of a specific product, whether they know if that product is most efficacious or whether it is the appropriate product that should be used in their classroom. And so what we see really as the ethical issue here is that teachers need to be able to have a clear mind when they're making decisions about what to bring in front of their students. They need to know that the curriculums that they're using are what is going to be most effective for their students to learn, especially in situations in which students are already within a under-resourced school. It's most important that in those instances that teachers are doing their very best and are supported in doing their very best to provide those appropriate resources for their kids. And when we think about the legal implications, the unique thing about the brand ambassador strategy, especially in education, is that it tries to circumvent the traditional channels through which educational products have been purchased. And so traditionally what you might see or what you should see is that a district, if they have an educational need for a product, for a new textbook, they evaluate and vet a number of different resources. And then based upon that, with communication with teachers and parents, make the decision that is in the best interest of the district, but only after comparing those things across products. What teacher brand ambassadors programs do is that they ask a teacher to take a product prior to it being vetted, bring it into the classroom, and then market it as the best thing that's ever been created. And so if the product presents any sort of privacy risk or even just not being educationally appropriate, legally, if the district hasn't gone through the appropriate channels to vet these products, there certainly will be questions from parents as to why this product was brought into a classroom.
Given these kinds of difficulties with regard to teachers becoming brand ambassadors, why might someone be inclined to take on that role? And what is it about the way that we structure and support schools that opens the door to this kind of marketing?
Yeah, so I think there are a number of factors that go into why a teacher might be excited about a teacher brand ambassador program. I think while the research remains, it's sort of a new area of inquiry for academic educational researchers. But we sort of give teachers the benefit of the doubt in the sense that we believe that teachers are joining these programs in order to make their classes more functional, in order to have a product that they otherwise would not have had. And that's incredibly appealing. If you have a teacher who is in a classroom where they would not have a Chromebook, or where they would not have, we use the example of the 3D printer in the brief, but that is in itself a valuable educational resource for students, if not just for the exposure that it would provide for these students. But there's also been increasingly a marginalization of teachers where they don't have opportunities to be involved in curricular decisions or in the policies that are imposed upon them. And so there is a sense that these programs offer them some sort of choice, an opportunity to be a part of this decision-making process. And it also offers them a way to climb up the career ladder. So it's not just that they just have to be a teacher, but now they can also be a brand ambassador. And they can add, for example, on their blogs or on their posts that they're a Google brand ambassador, that they're an Apple brand ambassador, and that really does signal some expertise. And that is a value to teachers.
I was struck as well in reading the articles that have been published about this in the New York Times and BuzzFeed, that some teachers are actually making a substantial amount of money to kind of supplement the incomes that they're making from their own school districts. Is that common, or is that a kind of unique circumstance?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. As far as we can tell, the teacher brand ambassador market is not very transparent. It's pretty opaque. And so it's hard for us to tell on an individual basis how much teachers are making. And it's hard to tell whether it's a common trend that it is normal for teachers to make a lot of money doing this. What is clear certainly is that, for example, the teacher that was profiled in the New York Times piece is making a substantial amount of money. And I think it's also important to note that in the brief, we try to be explicit about that. We don't think that these programs should be banned. We don't want teachers to feel as though we don't want them to have alternative career opportunities or just opportunities outside of their role as a teacher. We know how difficult and challenging it is to be a teacher, and often how challenging economically it can be. But I think what we would hope for is that, to bring this issue a little bit to the forefront of what's happening with educational technology and how that's being marketed to schools. But this certainly is appealing when you see a teacher making a significant amount of money through these sorts of programs.
All of this seems similar to the way that doctors are asked to be brand ambassadors for pharmaceutical products. How is this the same and different from the emerging use of brand ambassadors in schools? And are there any other professionals who are asked to engage in comparable activities?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, Natasha Singer in the New York Times piece, she talked a bit about the parallels between the medical industry and the use of brand ambassadors in education. And I think there are two interesting differences and two similarities. And so the differences are that the use of payments in the medical industry, I think, is a little bit more transparent. So, for example, there's research that shows how the amount of payments and the amount at which they happen. So that, in the sense, we don't have for teachers. We don't know how much teachers are being paid or what sort of perks they're getting, and we don't know the extent to which it's happening in public education. And the other difference is that in terms of research that looks at the effects of these brand ambassador programs, or endorsing a product or taking a perk in exchange for learning a little bit more about the product or using it, that there is not extensive research on how that affects teachers, but there is extensive research on how that affects doctors. And so we know from the research that something as small as a $20 meal, while a doctor isn't asked, like a teacher is, to use the product, it does have an effect on how much they prescribe a certain type of medicine. And it may just be that they prescribe a brand name medicine instead of having one of the more cheaper generic ones, where the difference isn't necessarily in the effect that it's going to have on an individual. It both medicines are equally efficacious, but one is just more expensive. And one of the things we learned from the research from doctors is that it isn't even having to be asked to present a product or to use a product. It's this idea of reciprocity where just because subconsciously I feel like I've been given something, I feel the need that that I need to give back to the individual who gave this to me. And so for doctors, that means prescribing more. But for teachers, and this is where the parallels sort of start to come into play, for teachers, it really is endorsing the product as if it is this amazing, great, wonderful product for kids, when in reality, they haven't had the opportunity to compare these products to alternatives. And so they don't know whether that's the case, but they're presenting the product as if it is the best thing because they've been provided it for free or because it is actually contractually they're obligated to do it. And so while there are some similarities in terms of what we know about teacher brand, or some differences in terms of what we know about teacher brand ambassadors, there certainly are similarities in the effects and the goals of these programs. And that is for private firms, in this case, educational firms, to have their products placed in schools and ultimately to have their sales go up, to have the districts either adopt the product or to have other teachers within a school adopt the product and increase the revenues of the firms that are employing the programs.
So it seems like there are, you know, potentially some real benefits to the use of the products that are made available to these teachers, and particularly in under-resourced schools where kids might not have access to some of the kinds of technologies that could be made available to them through their teachers becoming a brand ambassador. Could you say more? You've alluded to this to some extent already. Could you say more about the potential cost to teachers and students and others through this form of marketing?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is important to do when we're thinking about whether these programs are beneficial, because often you'll hear the argument that, well, isn't something better than nothing? Is to consider both the benefits for firms and for teachers and for students, and then to also consider the costs. And so when we think about firms, firms are receiving a relatively high amount of marketing within schools for a relatively low cost. And so what I mean is that they gain access to well-respected teachers' social networks, to other teachers, to parents, and to students. And in exchange, often they're not giving very much. And so they only give maybe a t-shirt or in some instances, in the cases of high profile teacher brand ambassadors, they'll pay for conference fees and for travel. But this marketing strategy presents a relatively low risk. And part of that is because of the micro influencer strategy allowing for a large group of individuals. Versus where you would have one celebrity endorser. If something goes wrong with that endorser, then it's going to be evident. And so if you have a scandal with your celebrity endorser, that's going to affect your brand. But if you have a scandal with one of your micro influencers, with one of your teacher brand ambassadors, you have thousands of others that, you can just let that one brand ambassador go and you still have, this army of brand ambassadors. For teachers, we've sort of started to talk about the benefits in the sense that they can be communal for a classroom, or they can be career oriented. But really, the costs lie in where the risk lays. And so, whereas firms don't carry a large amount of risk, teachers do. So they're the ones that are putting their name on the line. They're the ones that are tying their name to the brand. And so, if a product was not to be as effective as it was marketed to be. For example, if a teacher used a product within a classroom and it actually diverted time away from activities that would be more effective for students to learn, then that would fall upon the teacher to explain why their classroom wasn't responding to this activity or this product. And so we actually use one example in the brief where we talk about a product called Seesaw, and a school brought in cameras into their classroom. And it's all part of a Seesaw-oriented program where they record what's happening in the classroom and then they use it to give feedback to the teacher. But what parents did when they found out, they actually weren't asked for consent, and what they, how they felt when they found out about this program was that, they were frightened by the invasion of privacy, by how creepy this technology is, and that the fact that they hadn't been consented and or asked for consent. And for a teacher, what this means is that, if they bring a product into a classroom and it fails, their name is the name that's on the line. Their trust is then, or the trust that's been placed in them by the community is then diminished. And there's a larger, possibility of a conflict of interest. So they, it becomes unclear whether they're bringing classrooms or whether they're bringing products into the classroom for strictly pedagogical reasons, or whether it's because of their obligation to the brand ambassador program. And for kids, the benefits would be that they gain access maybe to something that they otherwise wouldn't have had access to. But the costs lie in, again, whether that product is appropriate for the task at hand. And so whether attention is being paid to a product that is actually going to have a positive effect on their educational experience, or whether they're being subjected to just a teacher bringing in a product because of a contractual obligation, and then time being diverted away from other teaching opportunities. And I think we see in the long run, the effects that this could have could be if teachers who are part of these programs actually do influence district decisions, and these decisions aren't based on the traditional channels of comparing across products and seeing which product is actually the best. What we could see is that funds are eventually diverted away from products that would be most effective for kids to products that are just being brought into classrooms because it's convenient, or because they're available, or because a teacher has an obligation.
So it's almost as though doctors were kind of delivering to their patients untested drugs. It's probably an extreme example, but it almost seems as though through this entire process, different kinds of educational products are being tested on kids without really being vetted to the extent that they really needed to be vetted if it were some other kind of professional environment. The teachers who are brand ambassadors can market their products to both colleagues and students. Could you describe how their approaches to these two different groups of consumers are similar and different?
Yeah, so the first, I think, is the teacher to teacher advertising, I think, is the goal of teacher brand ambassador programs. And the teacher to administrator advertising is probably also a part of that goal, in the sense that firms recruit teachers so that teachers then become the recruiter of other teachers, or that they then facilitate sales of this product to colleagues. And so we see that as being the primary goal of teacher brand ambassador programs. And that can be through the use of social media. So teachers are often asked to post on blogs or to post on Instagram or Twitter and talk about just how amazing these products are. For students, it isn't as clear that teacher brand ambassador programs target students. But as far as we could tell, using this software within classrooms or using these products within classrooms does create familiarity with the product. And so in the example of Google, if a teacher is a Google educator and they then use Google products within their classroom, it's not clear to what extent this familiarizes kids with Google more than they would have been already, but it certainly does make students use the products more in an educational setting. And so they become familiar with Gmail, they become familiar with YouTube, and then they may be less likely to use products that are alternatives.
Could you briefly describe which companies are making use of brand ambassadors to market their products in schools?
Yeah, so there are the big firms. So Google has a brand ambassador program, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon has a number of programs that are marketed towards educators. But then there are smaller firms. We talk about one called GoAnnounce. We talk about one called Seesaw, one called EverFi. And these smaller firms, what they're trying to do is develop software and curriculums that either teach specific topics. So, for example, EverFi has a curriculum that looks at financial literacy, or they try to develop software that creates digital portfolios of assignments and grades. And so they create sort of portals for students to organize themselves. And it isn't clear whether teachers have had an opportunity or are provided. I don't think they would be if they're recruited to be part of a teacher brand ambassador program. They would be asked to sort of use a specific product exclusively. So it isn't clear whether they're allowed to even compare these products. But those are just a few of the firms that have started brand ambassador programs.
Good. Given your concerns, what recommendations do you have for teachers, administrators, and policymakers faced with this new form of marketing in schools?
Yeah, so I think it's important to reiterate again that our goal with the brief isn't to rebuke any of the companies that have brand ambassador programs or do brand ambassador advertising. I think we've been careful not to argue that these programs should be banned or that teachers shouldn't be allowed to pursue these opportunities. But we do think that the brief brings into questions the private-public partnerships that we've seen in the past and whether the goals of these entities align. And so in examining the costs and the benefits, we've tried to show that there are significant costs to teachers. And so our first recommendation is that school districts review current codes of ethics and conflict of interest policies, and especially to take into account new forms of technology, whether that be social media, but also to take into account brand ambassador programs and what that means for teachers and the opportunities that presents to teachers. And I think one of the alluring things that we saw in brand ambassador programs for teachers was that it provided them this career opportunity or this opportunity just to be a part of decision making. And so one of our second recommendation is that teachers be a part of the process in reviewing not only ethics and conflict of interest policies, but also in the broader process of purchasing and researching curriculum. If teachers are going to be the ones that use these products in their classrooms, they should be involved in the process. And often I think they feel marginalized because these decisions just come from the top. We thirdly recommend that teachers be clearly guided on the ethics of their roles and on any updates to conflict of interest policies. And our last recommendation, is actually that, schools just be fully funded. Part of what's appealing about brand ambassador programs is that they do provide resources for students who otherwise wouldn't have them. And so if schools are fully funded, it sort of, does away with the need to have to reach out to private entities and ask them for help or for products or for any sort of sponsorships or funding.
Well, many thanks, Chris, for your investigation of yet another way that corporations are seeking to tap into the commercial possibilities of public schools. This is Greg Smith for the National Education Policy Center. March's Education Interview of the Month will be with Mark Warren at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, Zakiya Sankara-Jabbar, the co-founder of Racial Justice Now, and Jonathan Stith, the National Director of the Alliance for Educational Justice. They are all contributors to a book published in 2018 entitled Lift Us Up, Don't Push Us Out, that features the voices of a variety of leaders in the educational justice movement. This movement is composed of students, parents, teachers, and organizers from a wide range of communities across the United States. By joining together, they have been able to challenge a variety of practices that are denying Black, Brown, and LGBTQ students access to high-quality education. Practices like zero-tolerance disciplinary policies and the widespread closing of schools in low-income urban neighborhoods. We invite you to join us for another podcast.